తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోవీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగరూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహ గణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. I am very happy to be here for the Prerana festival, which has been going on for last several years here. Began probably in 96, 97, I think. More than 150 Preranas have happened here. His Grace Gauranga Prabhu and the other team of devotees have been putting up this beautiful festival, and it's a very great joy for me to see so many bright faces assembled here today. The topic of love and trust is a very important topic for anybody in any age group, especially for the youths. So therefore I purposefully chose this topic. One day in the Varada Kunjibari temple, in those days in the 90s, one of the days I was about to retire to bed at 11 o'clock at night. I was just winding up my office. So one big car suddenly rushed into the campus with a sudden brake. So one young boy got out of the car and came in front of me, breathing very heavily. Like that, he was breathing very heavily. And then he came and fell at my feet, and I lifted him up, and he was weeping. Then I asked, "What happened to you? Who are you? Why are you crying?" He said, "I just have come for only one thing. I want your blessing," he said. I asked, "What blessing do you want?" He said, "I want to shoot my girlfriend." And he said, "Before doing such an act, I thought it's better to take a blessing from a sadhu." And then I said, "How can I give blessing for such a thing?" Then I told him, "Please sit down calmly. You are very disturbed, it seems. What is the problem?" I asked him. "What is the problem with your girlfriend? Why you became so angry?" He said, "Prabhuji, you see, I was wondering how he calls me Prabhuji." He said, "Prabhuji, I introduced her to one of my best friends and she eloped with him." So, therefore I am so broken hearted. I just wanted to tell you and immediately go and shoot her. And then he told me, "Why I want to shoot her? She should not enjoy with anybody else other than me." And I said, "The other boy is not going to spare you, allowing you to shoot her." He said, "Before her, I will finish him first." I said, "If you shoot two people, what will happen? Police will chase after you." He said, "Before police reaches me, I will shoot myself." All the three. So I understood. And after saying this, he was loudly crying. So anyway, I went inside and brought two malas. Gave him one and took one myself. I said, "Come, let us chant one or two rounds." So he chanted with me. A couple of rounds we chanted Hare Krishna mantra. And after that I told him, if you want, you can take this mala. How do you feel now? He said, I already have a mala. He said, really? How do you have one? He said, you only gave me, he said. Really? When was it? That was 5 years ago, he said. Four or 5 years ago. Then I said, where is that? He said, it is at home, sleeping in the room, in the puja room it is sleeping. He said, first 1 week I chanted and I kept it there. And I never chanted after that. I have been here before, therefore I came now, he said. So then I said, see, because you gave up chanting, you have gone mad practically in your life. He said, he agreed, actually it is true, he said. I have gone practically mad. I left Krishna and ran behind this girl. Now she left me and ran away. And he said, now, after chanting, I feel a bit peaceful now. And I told him, you see, probably she is not meant for you. In case you married her and after that she ran away, it will be even more great tragedy. Till now you didn't marry her. Why to marry a loose woman who is hopping and jumping from one man to another? Better you marry a properly situated girl, I told him. Then he became pacified. He said, that's a good point. Then, then he came to his senses and went back. So, what I'm telling you just now is not just only one story. This story is repeating all over the world, in many places. Love is such a very vital thing for people. Everybody is trying to love someone or be loved by someone. Somehow, people are reading now love novels and love movies they are watching, love stories, love poems. People are very much after love, which is one of the most misunderstood things. Therefore, I took this topic. Maybe you can keep here. I can see here, I think. Yeah. So, love and trust that never rust. Where I got this word rust from? In Bible, once Jesus said, do not endeavor for wealth which can be stolen by thieves, eaten by moths, or rusted by wind, he said. What is the meaning of that? There are different types of wealth in this world that you can accumulate. He said, don't chase after the wealth which will be stolen by thieves, which is well known. Therefore, in banks and other places, they have burglar alarm and a gunman standing. That is the wealth stolen by thieves. Eaten by moths means you may build a very beautiful house, which will be eaten by moths. Even the timber is sometimes eaten by the termites inside, and the whole beam can collapse. Or rusted by wind, all the commodities of this world get rusted. Just like you see here, a shining knife gets rusted over a period of time. An apple which is cut and kept becomes oxidized. And in the same manner you can see, the relationships can also become rusted. You see this couple, they are jolly at one time and catching the neck at another time. So, before marriage, people generally often think that the cuckoos are cooing, flowers are falling from heaven. That kind of talk they do, isn't it? But after the marriage, you see cuckoos are not cooing, lions are roaring. You know, flowers are not falling from heaven, tears are falling from the eyes. Why is that so? What is the reason for that? That we will understand today, in our session today. Why the love does not remain ever fresh forever? I always had this question when I was a young boy. I asked this question to my father also. That Lord Narayana is lying in the Anantashesh. And Lakshmi is sitting at his lotus feet. And she is massaging his feet. So I asked him, does Lakshmi never get tired massaging Lord Narayana's feet? Or being in Vaikuntha, she remains for millions of years. Does that relationship not get rusted? So you will find there is love in the relationship. There is trust. There is respect. There is also a intimacy. There is humor. There is service. There is ever freshness in that relationship. In fact, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, this verse is very amazing, that Lakshmi in the spiritual world is sweeping the floor of Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha is like a mirror. You don't need to sleep at all. Still she is sleeping white to see a smile on the face of Lord Narayana. She wants to please Lord Narayana. So, all of you ask yourself in your own lives, the people whom you are intimately related with, namely your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and those who are married, they have their wife, children, everybody. We see a combination of sometimes affectionate moments, joyful moments, and then there is also moments when there is anger, when there is prejudice, when there is pride, when there are quarrels. Correct, no? We see a combination of both in our relationship. So, therefore, we are beginning to talk about the love, the mundane love. I heard one of our senior congregation members was telling a real story which happened. There was one rich millionaire who was watching a Hollywood movie and he became very attracted by that actress. And he immediately made a phone call to her and said he proposed to her. But this gentleman was married. He was aged also. He was aged, probably he was 50, 60. And the Hollywood actress was 20 to 23. So he phoned her and said, I am a multi-billionaire, but I am attracted to you. I have fallen in love with you. Please come, I will arrange a chartered plane to pick you up. And I am ready to marry you right now today. So of course his wife was very morose. He told his wife, if you want you can go to your parents' home. Roamed all over the world, going here, going there, enjoying life for a couple of weeks. After that, within a week, he made an observation that this actress, she was having affairs with many boys, dozens of boys. She would go here, she would go there. And he felt very unhappy. He said, what is this? Such a nasty woman. She is not loyal to me. She is not chaste to me. She is moving with anybody. And my earlier wife was much better. She was not so beautiful, but she was a Gunavati. She had good quality of being chaste only to me. This actress is so bad. So he was considering of divorcing her within a month. So the actress somehow came to know. She thought, if this fellow divorces me, I will only get a small compensation. It may not be much. But if I finish this fellow, all the wealth will come to me. So she was thinking like that. Somehow the word got around. And then the husband, when he came to know, he got frightened. So he had two bodyguards. Big, what do you call those big fellows? Bouncers. Two bouncers to protect him. And then he thought, oh, this lady seems to be very dangerous. I can't live peacefully. Maybe I should finish her, he thought. Then she got two bouncers. So it's a true story. These people are living in one of the leading cities of India and both are having their bouncers. Every morning they get up with bouncers and go with bouncers. Night they return back to home with bouncers. Do you think their life will not be bouncers? Will they not go? Do you think their life is being thrown, taken for a task, taken for a toll? How do you think they can live peacefully? Because the love that we are talking about is not love, it is nothing but lust, as you see here. That's the point I had mentioned here. Actually, generally, many people do not know the difference between love and lust, especially in young age when they are living in a dream world. Love means it always flows outward. And there is no expectation in return. There is no expectation of any reward in return. Love is completely selfless, completely pure, it is voluntary, it is directed towards the beloved, it wants to see the beloved happy. And one does not want anything in return. No remuneration, no kind of reward, nothing. That is love actually. On the other hand, lust means what is in it for me? What can I get out of that person? Therefore you will see, in this world it is not very surprising. When Srila Prabhupada explains about the psychology of man and woman, he explains women always look for facilities. And how will the facilities come? From the man's pocket. So, man has to have a good pocket. If man is like an ATM machine, he can produce all facilities for her. Isn't it? Similarly, man always looks towards woman for enjoyment. So therefore, this kind of so-called love is only the attraction for skin color or face cut or bodily shape, which is all a phenomenon which will be finished with the growing body. Now, let us take one step further to understand deeply what makes the whole world go mad due to this attraction for each other between man and woman, what they call as love. What is their attraction? So Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains. He says that why there is attraction whenever you see any living body. Like you go to an aquarium, for example. In an aquarium, a lot of fishes are moving. You know, golden color fish, orange color fish, green color, yellow color, blue color, different fishes are moving. Sometimes you can just stand there and watch for 1 hour also. Is it not true? So why are we watching a moving fish? Imagine if all those fishes are dead and they are lying at the bottom. Will you want to see that? How long can you see? Not even for a minute. Why do you like to see living fishes moving? And why do you don't like to see dead fishes, you know, on the bottom of the aquarium? So when I asked this question, one boy said, "Sir, I think it is because of the movement," he said. "Movement makes it interesting." Then I told him, "Even the fan is moving. Are you looking at the fan?" You just take the air from the fan. You don't look at it. How long can you look at the moving fan? You are not interested, but you are interested in looking at the moving fishes. So Prabhupada clarified it with another beautiful example. He said one day when he was walking with the disciples on the road, Prabhupada showed a cloth shop. And he showed there inside and said, "See, there is a doll of a lady standing there, dressed up. What do you call it? Mannequin, huh? Standing there. And there are other ladies walking on the road." So Prabhupada asked a question to the boys who were with him. "Do you see the doll in the shop? Or do you see the ladies walking on the road?" And they were a little shy to express. Prabhupada said, "Everybody knows. Huh? You will see the people walking on the road, not the one in the shop." Why? And the reason he said, because the doll in the shop has no life, whereas the lady walking on the road has life. Spark of life is there. Same is true for the fishes also. Why the fishes are moving, the colorful fishes, the movement is because there is life. Without life, you know, there is no attraction. So then Prabhupada concluded, wherever there is life, you are attracted. You will see that. Like for example, parents are attracted to a child. Child is attracted to the parents. We are even attracted to a puppy dog or a pussy cat or birds flying in the sky. Wherever there is life, you are attracted. And then if that attraction is there due to life, why is it there? We have to ask the question. And Prabhupada said, because the Atma is very beautiful. The soul by nature is very beautiful. And why is the soul beautiful? There comes the very main point here today. Atma is beautiful because it's a part and parcel of Supreme Lord Krishna. He is supremely beautiful, so we are minutely beautiful. Because we are minutely beautiful, we are attracted to each other in this world. Wherever there is living force, we are attracted to that. So, therefore, the attraction cannot be denied. Attraction is there between one another. There is attraction. And also you will see, if some boy is very intelligent, you are attracted also. If somebody is very very good player, putting several sixers, you are attracted. Somebody is handsome, you are attracted. Somebody is very strong, you are attracted. So, Prabhupada explained that actually our attraction to one another actually comes from attraction for that one supreme. So, that attraction, why is it there? Because there is true love in the supreme. Today, in my subsequent slides, what I will be showing you is not just a mundane selfless love that many people talk about in this world. There is a lot of talk in the world about selflessness and selfless love. But such selfless love between one living being and another, irrespective of God, it cannot go on for a long time. Actually, there is selfless in this world, selflessness, but that is only a shadow of the spiritual selflessness. Prabhupada explains that. For example, say this hand has a Mysore pak. This hand has a laddu. And both of them say to each other, hey, give me half of Mysore Pak, I'll give you half of Laddu, let us enjoy. Can they enjoy doing like this? But if they want to enjoy, they have to give it to the belly. Otherwise they cannot enjoy. Similarly, one living being and another living being, they cannot actually mutually serve each other and be happy in this world independent of God. They can be happy for a short while, but not for a very long time. Therefore, all the future slides which you will see now, I have shown you probably, you know, three situations in each of this. One is material selflessness, and another one is, the mundane, one is mundane lust, or mundane love, and spiritual love. So there are three things. In this world also, there is mundane love. The mother and child love is most appreciated in this world. For example, say you are going in a train, you know, there are people selling pakoda, bhaji, which is very nice smelling, isn't it? Everybody likes it. But if you buy and put it in your belly, tomorrow morning you'll have stomachache. Why? Because that is not actually cooked in a way to make you healthy. So the vendor, what is he concerned about? Is he concerned about your health? What is his main concern? Yeah, he has to fill his pocket. And he doesn't care what will happen to your belly. He may use a recycled oil, recycle 20 times. Yeah, because he's not going to bother about you. On the other hand, your mother, she's most concerned about your health, isn't it? Like your mother, you know, she even meditates what my son will like. Like in South India, when my mother was living in those days, when I would go from the college home during summer vacation, my mother knows that I am very fond of one thing. You know, she used to make this alu sabji, you know. While making alu sabji, sometimes due to excess fire, it will catch at the bottom. But after she removes all the sabji, the bottom portion will be stuck. I used to tell her, you remove it and give me. So she used to do like this and remove it and the powder. And the powder will be very crispy, very tasty. And also I used to like that burnt alu very much. So whenever I would go for the vacation, my mother would purposely burn the alu a little extra. And make it at the bottom and then, you know, remove it and keep it for me. You like it very much for you. So you will see that the mothers are contemplating on how to please the children. Is it not true? In the summer vacation time, mother would show, see, in the cupboard there is a stainless steel box full of, she would call it bhakshanam. Bhakshanam means a lot of eatables. We have made a lot of eatables and kept. And we used to tell them, don't worry, we will take care. With all our friends, we used to sit and finish off. So, she is always thinking how to see my children more healthy. And she is very attentive. In which season, what to cook and give. How to make my children nourished and happy and healthy. Even if a son is very hale and healthy, still mother feels he is thin only. She wants to feed more. So, Srila Prabhupada says in his purports, he writes that, in this world, if you want to see selfless love, where can you see it? Mother and child. Relationship. There's no doubt about that. That is probably the topmost type of sweet relationship. Selfless love. Because generally in India you will see that parents, when the children are growing up, they generally expect that, let my daughter get married and settled peacefully. Let my son study well and get settled in a business. And they don't keep much expectation. Maybe due to the influence of the modern day situation, now some parents may think that my son will grow up and bring me a lot of money, or he will build a house for me. That's very rare actually. Generally any good parent, they did not have any expectation. So we do agree that in this world there is also selfless love. So there is a lust, there is a love in this world, both are mundane, and then there is a spiritual love. So in our today's session, by understanding of that spiritual love, You will see that it will greatly help in our day-to-day behavior, day-to-day dealing with different people. Why? Srila Prabhupada says that if you love God, you will love all. And there is a reason for that. See, loving God is like putting on a master switch outside your house. See, while leaving your house, say a fan is on, you know, and lights are on, fridge is on, everything is on. While going out, you just switch off one master switch. Everything is switched off. When you return back, switch on, everything is switched on. So it's like that, loving God, you can love all. And I'll tell you the reason why, when you love God, you can love all. In one village, once upon a time, one very old man arrived and he was waiting in the bus stop, you know, to go and meet one of his relatives. And a young boy also happened to come and he was waiting in the bus stop also. And both the guys were waiting. In a village, you don't get a bus very often. Once in half an hour, one bus would turn up. And that bus would be very heavily loaded with people. And they'll be hanging out also. So some people would get down and some will get in. And then these two fellows couldn't get in because they were pushing each other. Old man was pushing the young boy was pushing old man. And they couldn't get in. So after the bus would leave, the old man would look at the young boy and sniff. And the young boy would look at the old man and he would sniff also. They would look at each other and throw angry glances. Because of this oldie, I could not catch the bus. And the old man would think, this young boy, he can always go in the next bus. I am an old man. He should have respect for me and allow me. So they were both a little bit, they were upset with each other. But then after half an hour, 1 hour waiting for the bus, the old man just casually asked the young boy, in this village, I wanted to know, do you know, there is one name he was asking. Ram Charan Sharma, do you know? He asked him. And the boy said, what are you asking, Ram Charan Sharma? He is my grandfather. He said. Then the old man had dilated eyes. He said, he's your grandfather. And then he said, I am Ram Charan Sharma's younger brother. I am Harisharan Sharma, he said. Then immediately the boy's attitude changed. He immediately bowed down and touched his hand to the feet of the old man. He said, that means you are my younger grandfather. And then the old man told him, 20 years ago I came to this village. Now I am coming again after a long time. The boy said, I am only 18 years old. I was not even born that time. So we couldn't know each other. So they had a very pleasant time talking to each other. And then the next bus came. What do you think happened? You know, when next bus came and stood, the young boy was telling the grandfather, you know, oh grandfather, Dadaji, you please get in. And what do you think Dadaji said? He told the young boy, you please get in. They both were saying, you get in. They were saying like that. Fortunately, both of them got in. They got a place to get in. But how they did this, they could see the connection. When you see the connection, then you see when the sambandha is seen, then you can love. Without seeing sambandha, you cannot love. For example, how many of you boys you have, how many of you have sisters? Raise your hand. Okay. So you all will understand this example very easily. So now, in case your sister is not yet married, till now you have love for your sister. But say your sister gets married, immediately sister's husband becomes very dear to you. Correct? And sister's husband's parents also become dear to you. And the sister's family, her in-laws' family, whenever you visit, you feel a special affection for them because of their connection to your sister. Similarly, if you love Krishna, you will see in the whole universe, all living beings are all fathered by Krishna. He says, Aham Bija Pradhapita. So they all have connection to Him. So when you love Him, naturally what will happen? You will love whom? Whom will you love? You will love all, because everybody is connected to Him. Just as when you love your sister, you love all of them connected to your sister. So therefore, we will understand in the future slides. See, I have written here, Some 9 points, each of it I am still showing by a slide here. What is genuine love? See, genuine love means it implies service, not just a feeling. Actually, many people think love is some romantic feeling. That's all. Many times, young boys studying in college, they want to have some love affair, after which they think, now we had a good fun time in the college. Now she will go her way, I will go my way. And then they think marriage is a serious business, which we can do later after 27, 28 or 30. Now when we are young, we can just have fun. In the course of having fun, they may become intimate with each other a lot. So in this way, one may consider that we can use and throw in this world somebody, considering that to be a passing phase of life. Correct? No? But that is not love actually. Love actually means service. For example, if a husband tells his wife, I love you very much, then he has to give her sari, he has to give her ornaments, he has to give her a house, he has to give her a car, he has to give her a fridge, he has to give her all the facilities, he has to maintain her for his life. You know Panigrahanam, you heard the word in Sanskrit Panigrahanam? Pani means hand, grahanam means catch. Panigrahanam means you catch your wife's hand on the day of marriage and then both are supposed to go for Agnivalam, they call it. You know that? What is the meaning of catching the hand of the wife? You tell the girl's father that I will take care of her for whole life. I take the commitment. I take the responsibility. That's the meaning of that. So, love implies service. Like you see here, I have shown some pictures here. You can see Gajendra, for example. He's being caught by the crocodile. All of you think for a moment, if a dog catches your leg very strongly, how many of you think it's a little difficult to chant the holy names? Do you agree? Correct, no? Even to chant, it is difficult. But even at that time, Gajendra thought, although this fellow is catching my leg, Lord is coming in the sky, how can I serve him? He thought. Because I cannot tell the Lord, I love you very much, but I won't do any service. So he looked around, and then he saw a lotus flower. And immediately, he picked up the lotus. And immediately offered to Lord. And then Lord Narayana arrived. Lord was very pleased with service. He did archanam. He did offering of puja for Lord Narayana. So in this way, this is the first aspect of love. When Lord Ram and Sugriva became friend, you'll be amazed in Ramayana it is mentioned, they lit up a sacrificial fire and they circumambulated. Even for friendship, almost like a marriage, they both became friends. But after the friendship, Lord Ram said, my dear Sugriva, the fruit of friendship is service, he said. So please tell me, how can I serve you? When I first heard it, the fruit of friendship is service, I thought Rama is telling that you should serve me. He is not telling Sugriva. What he is saying? Fruit of friendship is service means I want to serve you. So, in this way, love actually, true love implies service. Like you see Arjuna, he requested Krishna that you become a charioteer, Krishna, and then you guide me in the battlefield. What do you think Arjuna was doing? Was he sleeping in the chariot? Telling Krishna, anyway, you have taken charge of the chariot, you carry on, you do the needful. I will go to sleep. He was taking initiative also. He was actually following the order of Krishna. And why I showed this picture? Because Krishna himself is becoming Parthasarathi, serving his devotee. That means Krishna serves his devotee serves Krishna, then only there is love between the two. Where there is genuine love, both are eager to serve each other, not exploit each other. That's the very first thing we are learning here. Of course, one can begin our service with our, like you all come to the temple, you bow down before God. That is one type of service, Dandavat Pranam. You fold your palms, Kritanjali. That is also one type of offering prayer to the Lord. So, and we can also do services with our senses. In San Francisco temple, when Srila Prabhupada was installing the deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, many hippies had come. So Prabhupada taught them how to offer the arati. And he told them, when you come to temple, bring some flower, bring some fruit, and offer it to Lord. So they all went and brought fruits. They brought so many fruits, it practically filled up the altar. After offering, Prabhupada gave the fruit back to them, all of them. He offered it all back. So Prabhupada taught them, this is one way to serve. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So Gajendra offered a pushpam, offered a flower. So now, I had gone to Hyderabad, one of the computer companies has a very big housing colony in one place. So they were showing me the sky rise towers. And they said, in this tower boys are living, in that tower girls are living, and in this tower families are living, they said. But the families are living in homes which have no kitchen, they said. I said, really? Without kitchen, how are they eating? They said, both husband and wife are working. So they come down to eat in a mess below. Wife eats at one time and goes to company, and husband eats at another time, he goes to company another time. And they sometimes cannot even see each other because they are in different shifts. Husband goes to first shift, wife is in third shift. So they were saying like that. And then because of this lack of service to each other, then the relationship also doesn't become thicker. It doesn't become thicker. I have seen my mother, you know, cooking at home, and we all used to eat together at home. Sometimes my mother would be fanning my father also. In those days we had this fan, you know. Correct, no? After this came, that service stopped. Yeah. So there's no chance to serve. This fellow is rotating. Isn't it? So, That used to make the home a very happy home, at least one or two times of the day coming together. So there has to be, the parents should be, the wife should be chaste, husband should be protective, and children should be grateful. Prabhupada writes this. So then it's a very happy family. Everybody is eager to serve each other. And with God in the center. Then, as I told you in the beginning, the example, how the original selflessness comes from God Himself, we will see. Like, if Krishna is the ultimate God, then why should He become a charioteer of somebody? Because He is in love with Arjuna, so He is becoming a charioteer. Therefore, nobody can set a better example than God Himself. When He sets example, it's unparalleled. They are looking for love. Like in a company, can anybody say, sir, I am working in this company because I fell in love with my boss? You work in company, it is obligatory. It is duty. Janai padega. You have to go. If you don't go, even if it is a rainy day, you still go because you have to make your money there. And your boss is working because he has to make his money. You have to make your money. Your boss is thinking, I will give this boy 50,000 rupees and I will extract 5 lakh rupees worth work. He is thinking. And then the subordinate is thinking, I will take 50,000. Half the time in company I will do my personal work. Because he is thinking. Correct, no? Everybody is thinking in terms of what is in it for me. Therefore it is not love. It is simply lust. So, actually it's not a voluntary thing. If the company's salary stops, your service will stop. Agreed? Correct, no? The company doesn't, company tells you, because you have been working with us for 10 years, if you want, you can continue the service, but we will not give you salary. Who will go there? Nobody will go there. But it's not the case with those whom you love. No? Like, for example, say your parents come to the airport. No? You go to pick them up. So you voluntarily lift their luggage, isn't it? Actually, your mother, father, you don't like to see them lifting their luggage. You lift their luggage and you don't ask them coolie charges after lifting. Isn't it? Because they are your parents. You love them. You want to serve them. Isn't it? So, many of you have been coming here for many years also. You will understand this simple example I will tell you. You know, Dwarakadish Prabhu and his good wife, Vishakha Mataji, they were telling me, when they went for one of the first yatras with Parampuja Radhanath Maharaj, there were some junior devotees. So the senior devotees were telling the juniors, hey, we are all climbing up a hill now. It will be difficult for you. Please give your bags. So all the juniors gave their bags to senior devotees. And the seniors were carrying their bag and the juniors' bag also. Both they were carrying. And the juniors had only the joy that we could climb the hill at last. And then after coming down, they took the bags back. So 2 years later when the yatra went, now the juniors have become advanced in Krishna consciousness. When the senior devotees asked, hey, give your bag, we can help you. They said, no, this time they were refusing to give. We cannot give. Why? How can we take service from a senior devotee? We cannot take. And 2 years later when they went for yatra, another yatra, they wanted to take the bags of senior devotees. So you are able to see how voluntarily the service spirit is increasing. How many of you observed it? You understood in the example? Yeah. Earlier they were taking service. Later on they refused to take service. Now thirdly they were giving service. So in this way, the voluntary spirit of rendering service increases with increasing love in the heart. Greater the love, greater the service. One real life example I'll tell you. In those days, you know, between Bombay to Pune, the roads were not good. Many years ago, probably, you know, 4 decades ago. So one gentleman from our you know, Bombay, one big businessman, he was going in his car to Pune. They were ordinary roads in those days. So while returning back from Pune to Bombay, suddenly the car tire got punctured somewhere midway near Lonavala. Even now Lonavala, you can see, it's like a thick jungle. In those days it was even more thicker. So he got stranded there. It became already 7 o'clock at night. So he had to put the stepney and it was becoming dark, almost like 8 o'clock. So he was looking around, is there anyone? I am alone. Maybe night we don't know what all you can expect in such a dangerous place. In those days it was not well laid out roads and all that. So he happened to see one farmer was returning. So he told the farmer, this is the situation of my car. Farmer said, please sir, come to my home. You can retire tonight. So he took him to his home, he gave him food. He allowed him to retire that night. Next day morning when he got up, this rich man felt I should do something. So he took out a 500 rupee note and told the farmer, please take it. Farmer said, what is this? I cannot take anything. I just did my duty. You are my special guest. So I offered you a place and food. I cannot touch this. Repeatedly the fellow requested, but he didn't agree. Then the businessman took out his card and gave it to farmer and said, do you come to Bombay? He said, yes. Sometimes I come to Bombay for buying bearings and other things. He said, okay, next time you come to Bombay, here is my card, you should come to my home. I also want to feed you some food. Like that he said. Now when I heard it, I was thinking, why did the businessman voluntarily give his card to that farmer? Because he felt obligated. Correct, no? When somebody does something for you, without expectation, immediately your heart blossoms. You feel that I want to do something. I also want to do something in return. That feeling naturally comes because it's a voluntary service. So the farmer did what service? Voluntary service. So in this world, even voluntary selfless service touches our heart. What to speak of, here you see Pratapudra king sweeping the floor in front of Jagannath's cart. You will see, it's a voluntary service. He is very joyfully doing, considering himself a servant of God. So you will see that the service to Lord is also done in a voluntary way. There is no pressure. There is no force. And therefore in love, it's voluntary. Like the other picture you see, the fellow, the boss is behind him. He is challenging why you are not completed the job. So the fellow is feeling threatened. His blood pressure is rising. Still he has to do the work. You can't run away. It's not voluntary. So, love is selfless and the opposite is selfish. Actually, modern societies lack such deep feelings of commitment, responsibility between family members because that coming together with God in the center is not done. Just like you take a compass and put various circles of varying radius, they will all be called as concentric circles, isn't it? On the contrary, you know, when man becomes disoriented in life with no God in the center, no goal of life, no meaning of life, money only becomes the goal. There is no man-making, there is only money-making. Then it looks like somewhat like poor child. You look at the child, how is he? Yeah, you can see everybody is after a key to a good career. They want to get better grades. They want to prove themselves. They want to climb on the ladder of success. Everybody is I, me, mine centered. It's called as I, me, mine bubble. Everybody is having a bubble around them. I, me, mine, I, me, mine, I, me, mine. Everybody. So because of that, there is no selflessness. This is one amazing picture I got. You see this florist lady. See these two daughters of this lady, how happy their faces. Do you think this happiness comes from money? They don't seem to be very moneyed people. But you see, the relationships and welfare of others is given more importance than economic and material advancement in the traditional Vedic life. Another picture you see, Lord Chaitanya surrounded by his all associates. So all the exchanges were all based on respect and service and consideration of others' feelings. So love also implies that one has to take into account others' feelings. What will they think if I say this or do this? You think twice before you speak. Look before you leap, not just do it. Just do it has become the norm nowadays, isn't it? Look before you leap. So, in this way, these are all showing selflessness, but where is the self? This is a king. King Gaya's role, it is explained. How the kings are also selfless? See, the words are used, portion, the king gave sufficient food to the citizens. Preenana, he distributed gifts to the citizens. Upalalana, he called for meetings and satisfied the citizens. Anushasana, he was giving good instructions on how to become first class citizens. And the kings did protection, administration, welfare. They were constantly thinking of serving the society. In Bhagavatam, if you want to know how the kings lived, Prajanam Pitruvatsalaha, it is said. They lived exactly like fathers of the citizens. Like that. So there is also selflessness in the king's role. Where is the selflessness coming from if you see? You see, everything in Lord's creation, you look at the tree, that tree gives shade to somebody but takes the chill, cold winter, or it takes the heat of the sun and gives shade, isn't it? Or the tree gives tree bark, the tree gives tree gums, the tree gives fruits, it gives flowers. Even a woodpecker which makes a hole in a tree and then lives there, the tree gives shelter also. Later on the tree becomes firewood or the tree becomes a table, isn't it? So Lord Krishna himself quotes the example of tree, how the tree is selfless. Actually, if it happens to be a mango tree, do you think the mango tree will ask you for charges for the mango? It will just give you mangoes. But a man comes in between, plucks the mango and sells you for money. Otherwise, the tree doesn't sell you. The tree gives you free mangoes. The cow gives you free milk. The ocean gives you pearls. Sun gives you sunlight. Moon gives moonlight. So you will see in the creation, the selflessness can be seen in Lord's creation. Lord himself is selfless. He has sent the holy books, holy places, you know, the holy sages and saintly people. Lord Krishna, you read the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will come to know how you can see the Lord in every walk of life. The 9th chapter and 15th chapter of Gita. So the selflessness is originally coming from him. So those living beings who align with him have to be selfless. They can't be selfish. It is just not possible. Therefore, and love involves sacrifice and pain. You can see any mother who has a small baby, at midnight the child gets up. And then quack, 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 is making sound for practically 1 hour crying. The mother has to change the diaper and put the child to rest. But amazingly, the child rests very nicely during the daytime. And the night time the child is awake. Whereas the mother is awake during the daytime, and the night can she sleep? The night also the child is disturbing. So I asked one student, imagine if I give you a small baby who cries at 12 o'clock at night, what will you do? He said, I'll give a big slap. Isn't it? Because he cannot understand what is the sacrifice made by the mother. Correct, no? So you will see love involves sacrifice and also there is a pain involved also. One is willing to take. So actually if nowadays people want some easily obtainable love, what actually is nothing but lust. They think love is all about romance, but actually in love there is a sacrifice. Of course you see Krishna Sudama friendship has a very great intimate love. You can compare two people, compare Krishna Sudama relationship. Compare the Drupada Drona relationship. It is just the opposite. You will see Lord Krishna here as Dwarkadish is washing the feet of Sudama. What do you think Drona did? Drupada did. When Drupada saw Drona coming at a distance, entering the palace, he felt so unhappy. Hey, this poor Brahmana will come and spoil my prestige. He told the ministers, give him some alms and send him away. But then Drona insisted that I want to go. I am his Gurukul Dev friend. So when he came in, Drupada put his head down. He said, hey Brahmana, relationships can only be amongst equals. I am a royal. You are a poor Brahman. Take some charity and get out of here. So he insulted him. And just the opposite Lord Krishna, you can see here how he treated Sudama. This is a very direct comparison of genuine love versus one who is afflicted by the disease of false pride and false prestige. You can see that. Is it not true? And you will see in this world also, whether it is between man and woman, or between a boss and a subordinate, whoever it be in this world, if it is like Drupada Drona relationship, it becomes bitter and bitter. Later on, you know what Drona did? Drona went back and had Pandavas, Kauravas as his disciples, and he sent the Pandavas to capture Drona, defeat him and bring him. So they brought him a captive. At that time, Drona told Drupada, "Hey Drupada, when I came to your court, you insulted me. Now you are wound by chains. You are bound by chains and hands and legs. I can cut off your head if I want. But I am not as mean-minded as you. So I'll spare your life. And by the way, it seems your kingdom has become mine. But I'll give it in bhiksha to you. Take it." Like that he said. Actually, he was very sarcastic. And do you think Drupada did not talk back? Yes, Drupada didn't talk back. But he was fuming in the heart, inside. Outside, he behaved very humble. He said, thank you, he said. And inside he was telling, wait and watch what I do. Inside he was thinking. So when he went back, he created Draupadi and Drishtadyumna through a fire sacrifice. And that Drishtadyumna became the cause of the death of Dronacharya. They were taking revenge towards each other. So there is no question of love. In the Gurukul days, they were having love. Which clearly goes to show, in this world, the material love can get faded away over a period of time. Whereas Krishna and Sudama had a very deep spiritual love. And that love actually carried them forever. Even after Sudama returned home, he was remembering Krishna very fondly. So, on the other hand, I just shown the currency notes, needless to speak about it. You all understand what it means. See, in villages you will see, mothers use this grinder. This grinder is made of stone. I don't know how many of you have seen it. Any of you have seen this? Oh, good number of you. Very good. It's amazing that even in your generation you have seen it. Because now the grinders and all have come. So this lady, look at her face, how smiling she is. She is sweating also. But she is thinking that, you know, oh, my husband, my children, they will be so happy. Generally, my mother used to use this for making this masala and all, you know that? They will put all these different kinds of... then the items become very tasty, delicious. You know, in the modern time, people may say, why to take so much trouble? Just that one item can be, you know, removed. But people who take trouble... On the other hand, you can see the lady is going to gym, I think. She has no time to cook. If she can use this time, she is going for gym and doing this exercise. Or this exercise. So many exercises in those days women would do. That way she could serve the family and family can be happy, she can be happy. Because there is an exchange of love in that. Do you agree? Correct, no? So you can see selflessness. And love is also free from unrealistic expectations. All of us can ask a question to ourselves. We all want everybody to love us. We want everybody to respect us. We want everybody to understand us. We want everybody to treat us fairly. And we want nobody to cheat us. And none of us want to commit any mistakes. Or, even if we commit mistakes, none of us want others to know that we committed mistake. You agree? These are all unrealistic expectations. You can see that. 18th chapter, Lord Krishna says that Arjuna, when you lit up fire, there is also smoke. You can't have only fire. Along with the smoke will come. Similarly, in this world, any project you undertake, there will be some mistakes will come. So, therefore, people have unrealistic expectations towards each other. We are talking about loving relationship. Say, you will be amazed to see in this world, when, therefore it is said in the Shastra also, that the marriages are made in heaven, it is said. Why? Sometimes you find, a very handsome man. He is very tall and hefty and very handsome. But his wife is very small, tiny, running inside and running outside, looks like a rat. And you wonder how this man married this woman. You wonder. On the other hand, sometimes you find a man has a big tummy with a big mustache, comes with a big belt and a lungi, comes like that he comes. Sometimes a man comes, you have seen like that. And then you look at his wife, she is like a Mahalakshmi. So you wonder how this fellow got married to this. He looks like Ravana, she looks like Lakshmi now. So therefore it is said marriages are arranged in heaven. Yeah, you will see that. So in this world you will see everybody gets a spouse as per what God has allotted for them. Yeah, a husband should think my wife is a gift given by God to me. And wife should think my husband is a gift given by God to me. They both should think like that. Similarly, all of you students, you can think, I am born in a certain family, my parents are Krishna's gift to me. And they should think the same way. But generally people don't think like that. The reason is this. Nowadays everybody is watching Hollywood, Bollywood actors and actresses for a long time when they are young. And then when a boy marries a woman, he thinks my wife should be like a Hollywood actress or Bollywood actress. And she is also thinking my husband should be like James Bond. Correct? No? Is it possible? You know, everybody can be like James Bond, isn't it? So that is unrealistic expectation. Like, you know, one husband was telling his wife, if only you were little fair, how nice it will be. Only you are black. And she said, if only you are little tall, it will be nice. You look like a brinjal, you know. So short. You know, you cannot put him in a UTM machine and elongate him. He is what he is. Therefore, the unrealistic expectations has to be given up. If you accept, if the parents accept children as Krishna's gift, if the husband and wife accept each other as God's gift, then they will be very peaceful. They will know that some particular jiva has come into my life in order to actually teach me some good lessons and purify me, help me to grow in my life. And this is one family, husband, wife, children, we all have become one family. We should try to take the family progressively ahead in Krishna consciousness rather than find fault with one another. In our school days, one madam told us, all of you write a list of qualities that you would expect in your friend. So I made about 25 qualities. Some students made 20, some made 15. And then when we were about to give it to the teacher, teacher said, wait a minute, not yet. She said, now you look at those qualities and round up the qualities which you possess. Then we were in trouble. Because we were only possessing 4 or 5. But we expected how many? Yeah, that is unrealistic expectation. When it comes to us, we exhibit only 4 or 5 quality. From our friend, we want greater a leader becomes, he always looks for the sunny side of people, the brighter side of people. Like there was an Andrew Carnegie in West, he said at one time he had 53 millionaires working under him. People asked him, how so many millionaires work under you? No millionaire likes to work under anybody. But he said his secret was this. He said, when I go to get some few ounces of gold, he said, you have to dig tons of dirt, he said. But I don't care for the dirt. I only look for I was talking till now about selflessness. One another section of Ramayana that I admire the most, I will share with you briefly. You all know, one of the days Dasharatha called Ram and said, you are going to be the heir apparent now, Rajkumar. And Lord Rama bowed down to his father and then went and told the news to Kaushalya. Within a very short time, probably the next day or the following day, he was called. And Dasharatha told him that you are not going to be the king. Bharat is going to be the king. And in Lord Rama's face, there was not even an iota of depression. What is this? First these people are saying, I will be king. Now they are saying, I can't be king. He didn't get psychosomatic depression. Like I heard when India-Pakistan match, when India won, you know what some of the youths did, do you know that? They took Krishna Arjuna, big cutout of chariot they had made. Krishna is riding the chariot. Only difference is instead of Arjuna, they put Sachin Tendulkar. Instead of Arjuna holding a bow, they put a cricket bat in his hand. And Krishna is driving his chariot. And big cutout and they garlanded him and all that. And the next year when India lost the match, they made effigies and they burned them. Deserted him. Now if you also leave him and come to forest, my father cannot remain alive. So you should give him company now. So you should stay back. So Kaushalya loudly cried, you are not letting me go with you and you are not staying back. I think you are determined to separate from me. How can I maintain my life? So you know what Ram said? He said, Mother, if you cry like this, how will there be auspiciousness for me in the forest? For next 14 years, please be tolerated. Then mother immediately calmed down. So you will see that how Ram spoke to Kaushalya. Now comes the very interesting point. Let me see who amongst you finds out. When he went to Sita now, at the time Sita was actually in the puja room praying to Lord Vishnu for the good of her husband. So when she came out, that Ram told Sita that, hey Sita, I am going to forest now, 14 years, but let me tell you, it will go very quickly. You don't have to worry. It will be like a moment. So you will be in the custody of my mother, three mothers. Stay with them in the palace, be peaceful, and I will come back, he said. So do you understand the difference between what he spoke to Kaushalya and what he spoke to Sita? What is glaringly different? What he told both of them. Can you guess? Yeah? Wife should always stay with the husband. He told whom? But what is he telling his wife? You should stay back, he said. And Sita said, what? I will stay back and you will go away? She burst into tears. She said, for a wife going with the husband to the forest, even if there are thorns in the forest, even if there are pebbles in the forest, for a wife, that is like heaven. On the other hand, if I stay back in the palace, the soft bed will be like thorns for me. She said. And she said, I cannot remain for a moment. In fact, I like forest also, she said. I like the mountains, I like the lakes, I like the waterfalls. I like to see the greenery, trees, everything. And with you, in your company, how happy I will be. And she said, no, you have to take me. And Ram said, Sita, you don't understand. In the forest, there are always animals in the forest praying for food. and attack the human beings. Not only that, we don't have a palace like this to stay there. You have to stay under the trees. And we have to eat kandamool and roots and berries. You know, I can adjust somehow. But you are not used to all this. So you stay back peacefully. The palace is an ideal place for someone like you. And at that time Sita broke down. She fell unconscious. She cried loudly. She said, why did my father give me in marriage to you? Is this what he wanted you to do? I will complain to my parents, she said. And then she said, you go and come back, but you will not find me alive. I will either consume poison and die, or I'll enter the fire, or I'll enter into Ganga, some holy river, and I'll give up my body. Then Ram smiled and told Sita, Sita, I cannot be separated from you even for one moment. But I was just testing you. Now you have passed the test, so I'll take you with me. He said, I just was considering your convenience, he said. Therefore I spoke like this. Actually, Ram could have told Sita as soon as he heard from the father, hey Sita, did you hear the bad news? She will ask, what is it? 14 years my father has told me to go to forest. And she will say, oh really? But you also have to come, okay? You have to cook for me there. And she will say, but punishment is for you or for me? He gave only for you. Is it not true? Mujhe nahi bola gaya, aapko bola gaya. You have to go. Correct, no? Can she say or not like that? And the Ram says, no, 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 I cannot go alone. How can I go alone? And he is pulling her and she doesn't want to go. What a dirty scene it will be. Is it not true? Isn't it? So, therefore you find Ramayana is a very, such an amazing, appealing scripture that Gandhi was deeply touched. He was deeply touched by it. Because actually Gandhi once said, in my life, Gandhi said, if I learn selflessness, if I learn integrity, it is only from Lord Ramachandra. One time what happened, Gandhi was going in a train. He had to climb up in a train after getting on the seat. A lot of big crowd was entering inside. So he also got in. Somehow he got in, the train was slowly started moving. But one chappal fell in the platform. And another chappal was with him. So Gandhi looked at the chappal and train was slowly moving. If he gets down to pick up the other chappal, train will go away. So what should he do? Should he get down or should he be inside? What do you think? You're doubtful? Should he get down? No, he should go. So instantly Gandhi had one thought and he took the chappal which he had with him and threw it exactly very next to that chappal which was fallen on the platform. He threw it there. And his friend in the train, he asked him, hey, why did you throw away your this chappal? Gandhi said, see, if I took only one chappal with me, one leg chappal with me, I'll be frustrated. Correct, no? And if there is one chappal on the platform, the fellow, some beggar or somebody who may want to wear a chappal, he will see one chappal and he will also be frustrated. Correct, no? Now, I am never going to get it back because the train is going to far away place. Now by throwing the chappal in that place, one beggar who is a penniless fellow, he will get a chappal to wear. Correct, no? And I can be relieved and become detached because chappal is gone now, no problem. Anyway, one is gone, let both be gone. So you will see, Gandhi had many values like this, but where did he learn the values? He learned from Lord Ramachandra. And same way you will find, not only Ram, every one of them, when Ram called Lakshman and said, Lakshman, stay back and take care of the mothers, three mothers. Lakshman said, taking care of mothers, that will be done by Bharat. Lakshman said, my bag is already ready. I am going to go with you. Already packed up. He said, I will walk on the front. You and Sita will walk behind. He said, every thorn that comes our way, I will be the first one to encounter it. Any animal that comes in the way, I will be the one who tackles it. You and Sita need not bother about anything in the forest. Every night I'll make a cottage for you. And I will take my bow and arrow and go around the cottage. 14 years I take a vow that I will not sleep. So like that he took a vow, Lakshman. So we can say a lot about the selfless attitude of Ram, Lakshman, Sita also. See, Sita was not ordered to go to forest. But she volunteered to go out of love. Lakshman was not ordered to go to forest. But he volunteered to go out of love. And in the same way, if you read Ramayana, you will see what Sumitra said, what Urmila said, Lakshman's wife. Well, Lakshman's wife Urmila told him that actually, you know, you are very, very fortunate. You go to forest and serve Ram. Although I will feel a great separation from you, by allowing you to go to forest with Ram and serve him, I also get to serve you in separation. So 14 years he was staying in the palace. Actually, Urmila could have easily told that, see, Ram is taking his wife, so what you should do? She can ask Lakshman, no? If Ram is taking his wife, you also should take your wife, and I am here, you take me. She didn't argue like that. She knew very well, if he goes alone, he can serve better. If I go, then half his attention will go to me. Correct, no? So, in this way, you can talk a lot about selfless attitude of the characters of Ramayana. Love means respect. What is respect? Actually, respect has more than a dozen meanings. One of the meanings of respect is the most important meaning I am giving here, which means valuing individuality. On the extreme right, I have shown a picture of mother and child. This mother is comparing this child to the other child. She's saying, hey, look at that lady's child, and look at you. You are a muff. That fellow is very intelligent. People make comparisons like this, correct, no? So because of this, what happens? This kind of comparison, the children become very put off. I heard a story, I don't know, probably it is, some people say Thomas Alva Edison, some people say Einstein, but surely one of the great scientist's mother saw that the boy was fired from the school. Who was it? Edison only? Yeah, Edison. But the mother didn't say what the teacher said about Edison. Actually, the teacher said, your Edison is a muff. Don't send him to school anymore. But the chit was still there at home. But the mother told just the opposite to the child. My dear child, the teacher said, you are too intelligent for the school. She said, you can stay at home and study. So later on, when he became a great scientist, he got the chit given by the teacher. When he saw that, he realized, my Lord, my mother hid it from me. And she encouraged me, and today what I am made of her encouragement. Actually, you will see that every one of us in this world, we have something called unique potential. We call it, or some people call USP, or unique potential. Like, what is unique potential for you? Unique potential is that ability in you which is natural for you, which you are very fond of doing. Say, for example, somebody has a musical sense. They may want to play harmonium, they may want to sing, they can catch the tunes, ragas very easily, isn't it? They very quickly catch it. And they love singing also. And others also appreciate the way they sing. They get appreciation, encouragement. In the same manner, any activity is very natural for you. That is actually called as unique potential. And by Krishna's grace, he has given such kind of unique talent for everybody. Everybody, like you see this bat which flies, he can emit some ultrasonic signals so that he doesn't hit the wall. Similarly, every creature you see, it has some ability, like the eagle has a telescopic eyes to see. Although he's flying up in the sky, he can see down. Each animal, each bird, each human is endowed with some unique potential. So we can find out what is my potential and focus on that. Again, this is actually called situational leadership, we call it. What is it? You all know the story of this hare and tortoise, no? So who won the match? Tortoise, isn't it? Because we say slow and steady wins the race. Although it is true slow and steady wins the race, it is only possible if a hare goes to sleep. Let us assume hare never went to sleep. Then the formula of the story will be different. The fast and consistent will always beat the slow and steady. The fast and consistent. So therefore, who will win otherwise? The hare would have won, but he slept off in between. So the tortoise saw, every time this fellow wins, I will never be able to make it. You know what the tortoise did? He put a target ahead of the river. So next time, and the hare agreed for it, so when they both ran, the hare went up to the river and he couldn't cross it. So what do you think tortoise did? He dropped into the river and reached the target. So why did I tell you the story? You have a unique potential in which you can actually be very outstanding in your life. Not being aware of your unique potential, you can feel depression, inferiority complex, you know, unhealthy comparisons, what you don't have. So therefore, ultimately, Lord is such a personality, he can see that unique potential in everybody and how they are using it. Like you can see Lord Rama appreciated the tapasya of one Shabari. Actually Shabari, you all know Shabari gave bitten fruits, correct, no? So when I heard the story, I didn't like it first time when I heard it. What is this? You bite a fruit, taste it, and then if it is not tasty, you throw it, and then otherwise you give it. You know, I was wondering, why did Lord Rama accept it like that? So one day, my assistant brought, he brought an orange for me, mausambi for me. But when I put the mausambi in the mouth, it was as sour as a lemon. And immediately I threw it, I spat it out, and I told my assistant, hey, never give me anything without tasting first. Did you taste it first? Like that, I asked him. Then I realized, then why did Shabari taste and give? Because she wanted, correct, huh? Because she wanted to ensure that, the fruits are tasty enough. Is it not true? For Lord Rama. So, you can see that Lord Rama accepted from Shabari something simple. Krishna accepted something very simple from Sudama. You can see that they didn't have any big expectation. Actually, Sudama, when he was going to Dwaraka, Sudama was thinking in his mind, now that I am going to meet my friend, how can I go with an empty hand? So I was thinking, Sudama is wearing tattered clothes and bones are visible and he has nothing to give at home. Still he is thinking, what can I give? He is thinking, what can I give? Therefore, even though he brought something very insignificant, Krishna understood this is the best he could bring. And he accepted it. So in our life also, if we love somebody, whatever best they are able to give, we should be satisfied. Otherwise, we point fingers to people and show our fist on their face and say, why you couldn't achieve this? I wanted you to do this. Therefore, the love becomes weak because of that. Otherwise, if you adopt this attitude of the Lord, whatever best people are able to do, just be happy with that. Love has no conditions. Unconditional in all situations. Think about this question. You all know, in material life, unless you 100% do a thing, you are not considered successful. Correct? See, one of our boys in Pune, he had joined our ashram, claiming that he is an engineer, he said. And after 1 year, I came to know that he says he is an engineer, he is not yet an engineer. Because one paper he didn't pass. He had finished 44 papers out of 45. So he said, Prabhuji, only one paper I didn't pass, so they didn't give me the degree. So he told him, go and complete it and come. He said, very tough paper, Prabhuji, some M2 mathematics or something he was telling. Very tough. So he told him, you have to complete it. So then this boy was telling, if they can wave off that paper and give me a degree, how nice it will be. Do you think they can wave off? No, sir. In material life, 100% you have to complete, then only you succeed. Similarly, imagine somebody is building a house. They made an estimate, it will be 60 lakhs. So in 60 lakhs they spent, the house is built, the wall is built, but it's not yet painted, it's not yet plastered, electrification is not done, water tap and all that is not put, they need another 10 lakhs, say for example. Now the house is semi-finished, can they live in the house? They cannot, it has to be 100% finished, otherwise they cannot live. Maybe a dog or a cat can go and stay there during rainy season, But humans cannot live there. Is it not true? It has to be 100% complete. But this is not the case in spiritual life. You will see, in spiritual life, even if you are a failure, still Lord can send you to Vaikuntha if He wants. And the example is Jatayu. Jatayu actually, Jatayu materially speaking, do you think he defeated Ravana? He tried his best. You know, he fought against Ravana valiantly with his claws. He cut off his kavach. With his beaks, he killed the mule, the horse driving the Pushpaka Viman. And Ravana took his sword and cut off the wing of Jatayu. Jatayu actually came down and fell in a bloody mess. When Lord Ram saw, Lord Ram cried for him. He said, Jatayu, although Ravana has taken my Sita away, you have practically given your life for Sita's sake. Therefore, we should learn from the Lord unconditional nature. We are coming towards the end now. Love means tolerance and forgiveness. This is the height of forgiveness. Example given here. You see Krishna killing Putana, Putana Vadha. Although, you can see the picture, Putana came like a very beautiful woman, as if she is a mother. She came in that form. Later on, she turned into a very great demoness, isn't it? So because she did the drama of a mother, Krishna accepted her seriously, as good as mother. Anyway, she wanted to feed me milk and poison. So because she wanted to feed poison, he killed that part of her personality and accepted the milk and sent her to spiritual world as a nurse in the spiritual world. So this is the height of forgiveness that is quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami. It's a, generally speaking, forgiveness is not a very easy thing for many of us. We can see in those days there was a Mrigari, you know, he stopped half killing animals. There was no question of forgiveness. Animals didn't do anything to him. He was doing something wrong to animals. And that he stopped. So, I will close in about 5 minutes. I'll close. Sri Radha Gopinath ki. So, higher than Mrigari, you will see Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed by a boy, Shringi. But he did not curse back. He forgave. So in this way you will see Prahlad not only forgave, he prayed for the deliverance of his father Hiranyakashipu. So we can have increasing degree of forgiveness, and Krishna's forgiveness is ultimate. So the love also means tolerating the blunders and mistakes of the loved ones. If you really say we love somebody, if you are not bendable, if you are not flexible, if you are brittle, then the love cannot continue. Therefore it is said, do you want to put a wall around yourself? Or you want to put a bridge around yourself. If you put a bridge, there is possibility of relationship continuing. Putting a wall means non-forgiveness, intolerance. Putting a bridge means you are able to forgive. This is the last thing, I think. Love means security. Love means support, shelter, pleasure. One feels very stable. What is the meaning of this? The one whom you love is always available for you at any cost. Like once I saw in Dadar, one Mataji was in a queue taking ticket. She had a baby on her shoulder. Baby was sleeping. Then she climbed up on the staircase, climbed down and caught one train and she was going. But the child was all the while peacefully sleeping. Because the child found a shelter in his mother. Similarly, where there is a very strong love, one can feel the support and one can feel the children happiness. Like you see this child, definitely he is in a very happy mood, isn't it? So trust, I did not make any slides, but I will just say for 5 minutes something about trust and I'll conclude. Because love is all about relationship, but if there is no trust, there is no relationship. For example, during marriage time, when a boy is seeing a girl, parents are seeing, there is always fear that, you know, the other family should be a good family. Correct, no? There's a fear, there's a doubt. Similarly, when you eat out in a hotel, there is doubt. Similarly, when you go to a doctor, you are afraid that this doctor should not be an exploiter. Because some doctors make you their, you know, lifelong customers. Correct, no? So you want a good doctor, genuine doctor, isn't it? Similarly, you're joining a college. You should get placement after your studies, isn't it? So you have doubt. So in business transactions, also when you make partners, there has to be trust between partners. You agreed, no? Correct, no? So when there is trust, there is relationship. When there is no trust, no relationship. Imagine if a doubt comes between husband and wife, that leads to divorce. Correct, no? Similarly, in the same manner, you will find wherever there is a doubt, there is a misunderstanding, then there is a distance. So trust is even more important than love. Then only one will be able to exhibit love. There has to be strong trust. Therefore, the trust is compared to a wall. Say, imagine you are keeping brick after brick after brick, you are building a wall. But once you break a trust, it's like collapsing the whole wall or the whole building. People develop suspicion, people develop doubt when the trust is broken. Like you will see that, see here, the last but one point it is made. Work on your character first, then your relationship. So, when we talk about the love and trust, these two go hand in hand. Actually, my spiritual master used to talk about three things always. Love, trust and respect between devotees. So, when these three things are, made very strong in our personality, actually we can be happy even in this world, as if you are in spiritual world. So, thank you. I can take one question. I think 2 minutes I have, 2-3 minutes. One question I can take. Anybody has a question? There is one hand up. You can send the... Yeah, backside, way, way behind. Yeah. Last row.
सर मैं कैश नहीं सी कि हम अपने एंगर को कैसे कंट्रोल कर सकते हैं. हम किसी को अगर माफ करना चाहे तो हम पहले एक तो अगर कोई गलती किया तो पहले तो गुस्सा आएगा. Correct. तो वो गुस्से को कैसे कंट्रोल करे सर. Correct. उसको माफ कैसे करे.
करेक्ट. तो इन ऑर्डर टू कंट्रोल योर एंगर द फर्स्ट थिंग यू शुड थिंक इफ आई मेंटेन माय एंगर एंड इफ आई डोंट फॉरगिव देन द रिलेशनशिप मे बी ब्रोकन. इज दैट ऑल राइट फॉर यू आर नॉट. यू आर रेडी टू ब्रेक द रिलेशन विद दैट पर्सन. Or you want to maintain the relation?
पहले तो maintain करने के लिए आएगा ना सर कि हाँ चलो ठीक है हो गया. But अगर उसने गलती किया तो हम फेस करें तो कैसा उसको हम फेस करें.
My question to you is, yes. You want to continue the relationship?
Yeah, I want to continue my relationship.
So this is the first question we should ask. If I don't forgive, then the consequence is relationship is broken. See, one man. There was one boy who married a particular girl. At the time of marriage, he asked her a question. Did you have any boyfriend in your college days? Did you intimately deal with her, with him? And she said, no, I was a pure girl. I didn't have any connection with anybody and all. But after marriage, somehow it came to be known by some interaction that she had a boyfriend and she had become very intimate. Now the husband became very wild. Why did you tell a lie to me? She said, if I didn't tell that lie, you would not have married me. She said, you understand, no? Yes. Therefore, I was very much wanting to get settled in life. So I told the lie, I'm very sorry. But now, I am like your assistant and servant. I will cooperate with you all your life. Please forgive me. So he had a great difficulty forgiving her because she told a lie to him. And she was used by another man before and then he got married. So it was a very painful situation for him. Now, in that situation, if that man doesn't forgive her, then the result is divorce. Correct, no?
Yes.
So she doesn't want divorce. So he was considering divorce. Now, at the same time, she had a lot of good qualities also. He saw her, that she is a very good wife. And she is very submissive, very cooperative, very nicely cooking, very peacefully going on, very devotional minded. But she was actually cheated and exploited by that boy before. It wasn't her intention. So he wanted to consider forgiving also. But it was very painful for him. At last he forgave her and continued with her. Otherwise what happened? The relationship breaks. So this is the first reason why you should forgive. Because we want to maintain the relationship. That's one reason. And the second thing, if you don't forgive, you suffer more than the other person. Because many doctors say that psychosomatic illness, we say, there is a endocrine orchestra, we call it here, medulla oblongata. It secretes some chemicals, like our adrenaline secretes. It increases the blood pressure for you. repeatedly thinking about that incident, it's not good. And krodha sanskaras will surround our body. Like, you know, this disturbance becomes agitation, agitation becomes anger, anger becomes hatred. So as it increases to hatred stage, you are constantly consumed like a fire by it. So we don't want to increase disease in our body. You want to be healthy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So because we want to be healthy, we want to get rid of that thought. And number three, why do we give up the anger and forgive? We all should know that we are getting certain goods in our life according to our own past karma. Correct now? If I did some blunder in the past, that is returning back to me now. So in this way we understand that whatever that person did to me, I actually deserve it. But it has come through that person who acted as a nimitta. Actually, I can explain it, only we are running out of time now. Maybe I can personally explain to you. But if you know... Okay, I'll tell one little example and I'll conclude. One time in our yatra, two devotees were sitting. So one devotee told one younger devotee, "Hey, go and get my prasadam plate." So this fellow went to get prasadam plate and he came without sweet rice. You know, he said, "Arey, whole prasadam plate you have brought, where is sweet rice?" he asked. You know, then the junior would say, "Prabhuji, sweet rice khatam ho gaya, you know, it is over," he said. Then he said, no, it is over in the counter, but go in the kitchen inside. You know, they would have kept a bucket, surely for the servers and all. From there you bring one, this thing, drone," he said. So this fellow went and took a drone in the kitchen and then he brought it back. And this boy came running. When he came very near, he slipped on a stone and fell. And the sweet rice fell like this, you know, on the ground. Then this devotee got really wild. "What a fool you are. How did you put it down?" He said, "I didn't put it down, it fell off," he said. Okay, it fell off, but you were careless. And then the other friend told him, "Ere dane dane pilika hai chintiyon ka naam." You know. He said, "Right, chod do, kane do, unko kane do." Then this devotee told him, "Okay, theek, aur ek bar lekar aao jaakar." Then this devotee went to the kitchen. You know. Then when he went to the kitchen, by the time the bucket was not there. Then he came back and said, "Prabhuji, pahle tha bhi nahi hai, Prabhuji." Then this fellow's friend was telling, "Dekho, tumhare takdir mein aaj likha nahi hai." Sweet rice. Ye baat maan lo. Understand this. It's not... See, how much you tried, you are not getting. The ants are eating your sweet rice. And the bucket is also vanished now. That means God doesn't want to give you. Therefore, our sufferings, we should know, they are coming because of our own karma. Other people are only nimitta. That's all. By knowing this, our anger can be reduced. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you all very much for your very rapt attention.
Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. So, recently the GBC of ISKCON has given me a new assignment called a Global Duty Officer. I am supposed to go to Boston for 2 months in a year. So, tomorrow evening I am leaving for Boston, USA to start preaching in colleges like MIT, Harvard in that area. So many of you are assembled here. And you all are devotees coming to temple regularly. I will extend my sincere request to all of you to bless me pray for me that I am putting my step in Boston for the first time and that I will be able to do some good for the youth of the West, which I haven't done before at all. I just went to America 10 years ago. Now I am going now. Now I will be going every year about 2 months or so. I will be going. So you all pray that we want to have a prayer program in Boston like this.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Radhesham Prabhu, for a wonderful ecstatic class. It was indeed very nice, very charming. Prabhu, you are mentioning that he is going tomorrow to Boston. If I am not wrong, Prabhupada, when he went to New York, he first went to Boston, Pennsylvania, right? So Prabhu also, you also go to Boston tomorrow. And today is Prabhupada's arrival in America. Today is the day. So it's all connected. You can see Prabhupada arrived in America today. Prabhu is arriving day after tomorrow. And definitely going to Boston, one of the major hubs of university preaching. So we hope and pray that we'll have ISKCON Youth Forum in Boston soon. Must be already there, but we'll see thriving some students there also. And we'll definitely have Prerna, festivals, voice all over America. So let us pray to Shishi Radha Gopinath and Shishi Gaurnita Gopalji that Prabhuji's trip may be successful, and then he extends ISKCON Youth Forum all over the world. Hari Bol. Few announcements. We'd like to welcome all those who came for the very first time today. Jo aaj pehli baar aaye hain hamare is Radha Gopinath Temple mein aur ISKCON ke Prerna Festival mein. Kripa karke aap apne jagah pe khade ho jaye. All those who have come for the very first time amongst you, all the students who have come, please kindly stand up so we can properly welcome you. Achha. Jo pehli baar aaye. Hare Krishna. Dhanyavaad, aap sabka dhanyavaad hai. Thank you all of you for coming today, and we wish you all a happy Krishna conscious journey way ahead in your life. I hope you all like today's lecture. Hare Krishna. So please keep coming here again and again. Every month we have a Prerna festival here, and apart from that, every week, weekend, Sundays we have programs in our temple. You can get more details as you go down. There is a prasadam, special prasadam for you downstairs, right? And one more thing is, all of you, including the newcomers, you have got a special slip today. Special slip is there, something called registration. You have got a special slip today with you, slip. Kuch mila hai aapko aapke haath mein, counter pe? Kya mila hai? Slip mila hai na? There will be a slip. Anyways, isko mila nahi theek hai, isko mila hai uske liye. So, I'll mention about the slip now. So, let us welcome this wonderful devotees who have come for the very first time to our temple by three times loudly chanting. Please sit down, and some exciting announcements are coming. Niche baith jaiye, kuch dhamakedar suchnaye aa rahe hain. The next Prerna festival, please pay attention. The next Prerna festival will be on 12th of October. Please note it down in your calendar.